Welcome to GLHF, the world's first podcast in video games, where we are babies again, but I'm using the right microphone this time. Thank God.
Are you? For sure?
I am. I've tapped on it. I've checked. I don't know. Some people like the vibe of the wrong mic, though. They're like, it sounds homey. It sounds like you're in another room.
I think if it was me, I would have made my mic also sound bad. I would have like added a bunch of reverb to it so I also sounded like that. I was in a room, because then it would just sound like a Zoom call.
Yeah, exactly. But, and you know what? Some people have no standards, because there's professional podcasts by celebrities where they publish the Zoom audio, which kind of blows my mind. It
drives me crazy. Anytime like people ask if I want to be on a podcast, I always am like, do you want me to record locally? And if they say no, I'm like, I'm going to record locally and you better put it together, because nobody wants to hear like raw Discord raw Zoom audio.
There's a freak crawling around behind you. That's part of the experience, though.
Is that another human player, or is that just an AI baby?
I don't think there's AI. I don't think there's AI babies in this game. I think everything's real.
Why'd you cut out all the good stuff from the last pod? What the heck? I feel like you cut out some of the best shit. What happened? You chicken out?
Scared.
You talked to a lawyer?
I was scared. I don't know. I was Googling, and every source says something different, because it's like different states have different rules. And I was seeing that it's like definitely illegal to talk about any deliberations. And so I didn't know. I don't know. I'm a rule follower, and I was scared that I'll get in trouble. I don't know if like if this person ends up appealing, or if they even can appeal, then like maybe I'm fucking something up. I don't know. So
I just want people to know that was some, it was some A+ content. Like, there was some, it was a great
drama.
Conversation.
It wasn't really, like, if you look back at the episode, it still ended up 50 minutes. So it was like only maybe 10 minutes of stuff that I cut out that was just very particular details about this person's life that was on
but
trial.
But they were so funny.
I know, I know.
Like, this stuff.
Listen,
I really enjoyed talking
about
the jury duty shit.
My YouTube career is just starting out. I can't go to jail. You know, I need to give it
a
few more years.
When's the last time a YouTuber went to jail?
I mean, I'm sure it's happened.
Name one. I can't think of a single one. They've gotten in trouble and they've done things where they should have gone to jail, probably.
YouTuber goes to
jail. When's the last time a YouTuber went to jail?
Russian American YouTuber Vitaly Durevetsky.
Does he have a YouTube name? Oh, is that FPS Russia?
Known to millions as Vitalize TV.
Oh, I don't know.
He's a prankster. He's one of these pranksters.
Okay.
What is he going to jail for? Hold on.
Pranking it in public.
It's a lot of like, you know, it's doing it for the content. He's trespassing places.
Yeah, I guess I just assumed that in most of those cases,
a lot of trespassing.
If you're like a famous YouTuber and you do trespassing, like most of the time, you can probably plead it down to like a fine, some community service, you know?
Unprovoked,
like, don't catch me ever going to jail.
Unprovoked attack on a female jogger.
Oh, that's really not good. Was it menacing? Was he menacing this female jogger?
It was aggravated battery is what that one was.
And he was convicted. This isn't hearsay or whatever, slander. No,
this is
libel?
Things he's
no,
been
libel is
arrested
written.
For. I'm not sure. I think it's all mixed together in this article. But the point is, he's been up to some shit, and he's currently facing 24 years in prison.
Oh, that's a lot. This is some serious business. Where is this? Is this in Russia? No, you said Russian American.
Yeah.
So he's is this in Oregon? Perhaps. Maybe you could be on the jury again. That'd be crazy.
That'd be fun. No, listen, if you search for it, there's all kinds of YouTubers going to jail. We just don't know them.
But, like, what actual YouTubers?
You know what I'm saying?
These
are people
like,
with millions
of
views.
No,
we
no.
just don't watch
I'm saying,
them.
Why hasn't Jacksepticeye been arrested? Okay, what's going on
what
with
done?
Ryan Higa? I don't know. I'm just saying someone should arrest someone at some point. Just
it
the
would be
statistics
fun.
Of
it
would are confusing
fun.
To me.
It's fun when there's drama.
What percentage of the actual population has been arrested ever? That's what I want to know. And then let's compare that to YouTubers and see if the data lines up. Because if not, something fishy is going on. and I need to know who's paying off who. What percentage of the population do you think has gotten arrested? Just arrested, not convicted.
I don't know. I'm sure we could look that up. Arrested.
I'm going to look it up right now. Goodness. Do you want to spitball on it? Like, what do you think? Yeah, let me guess. 1%?
I would guess in the single digits. Do you want me to be really specific? 3%.
It kind of depends on what... Let's see.
Because arrested serious. You know, that's not just like you got a finger wag or you got pulled over. Like, arrested is like... It takes a lot.
Okay, so the data for arrested doesn't seem that available, but I do have some stuff from the Bureau of Justice. I didn't even know we had a Bureau of Justice. Let's change the question to what percentage of all persons in the United States will be confined to a state or federal prison during their lifetime? So, like, actually get, like, confined in some kind
of state straight up went to prison.
Or federal prison. Yes, went to prison. What percentage of the population do you think will ever go to prison statistically? Oof. Yeah, take a guess.
I would guess like
1%?
Yeah.
Okay, is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, the answer is 5.1%. That's 1 in 20 people.
I mean, not nice, but that's
crazy.
Yeah, that's more than I would have thought.
Can I talk about China and like and propaganda and stuff, or is that going to be too
heavy? I
think
you will, whether I...
No. If you ask me not, so I'll skip it.
You really love talking about China. I don't care. You can talk about it.
China, Russia. Okay, so I just think it's interesting because there's this like statistics thing where they're like the U.S. locks up more people than any other, what we would refer to as what, first world nations, quote unquote, G7 countries. I don't know.
Sure.
Like, we have by far the highest, like Louisiana, this, the beloved, my beloved state of living, has a higher popular, like prison. It has more journalists in prison than China, I think, or some crazy statistic like that. And then people are like talking to me on the news, you know how the news talks to you and they go, oh, China is like a police state. And I'm kind of like, what's fucked up is when they tell me that, I'm like, I agree, China's a police state. And I can't put together the fact that, like, why do I believe the news when they say that?
Yeah.
Given this data. And I don't know if it's just like what version of reality is the simplified version? Is it that China's a police state and that the U.S. isn't? Or is it that the U.S. is a police state and China's actually great? Or is it somewhere in the middle? Like, I just think it's weird because it's, we have so many fucking prisons, and yet I don't believe that we're, and I don't say this as, and I've thought through it.
I mean,
what does it mean
to say police state specifically? Like, is that defined thing? Or that's just like, it sounds like a scary buzzword for the news to say. Like, I don't actually know what that means.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. It's like, maybe actually the truth is just like, these words don't actually mean anything. And you have to look at the specifics of
I mean, something I've learned,
that's happening.
Something I've learned from traveling and just like consuming content about a lot of different places is that everywhere is just a place at the end of the day. And like,
so
most
true.
People are living life pretty similar to the way we live life, regardless of what their government is doing, or like obviously there's some places to live that are better than others, God knows.
Oh,
but
yeah,
like
where?
At the end of the day,
like where? Name two countries and tell me which is better. I'm just kidding, you can move on, it was a joke. That was a rhetorical question.
I have something equally important to talk about today, which is what just doing before this podcast. I am building a new office chair.
Really? How much from scratch?
I mean, pretty much from the dirt. Like, I grew the plants to make the leather.
Really? To harvest the fibers and
sewed it
up. Wait. Can you say that sentence again?
Don't worry about it.
What's it called?
I bought a chair. I guess I don't know if everybody consumes the same content I do, but I see these TikToks about like cozy gaming setups, and it is the cozy gaming girl chair. And I'm not saying that I'm proud of it necessarily because, you know, I like to be interesting and different and not like everybody else, but I did buy the chair because it looked really comfortable, and I have reached a point where my desire to be comfortable is overriding my coolness, I think.
Yeah. Are you talking about like Herman Miller? Like, what are we getting in?
It's basically, I mean, I can put up a picture of it. There's all kinds of variations of it because it's one of these things that like probably comes from the same factory, but a million different brands online are selling it.
Like Cheerios.
But it's basically like a big, like Cheerios.
Yeah, how they like they. It's the that's what my economics professor was like. Well, he's like, where do you think those knockoff Cheerios
isn't
come?
Isn't that a thing
they
where
they put the tube in one and then they put in the other? No shot is that true. And in fact, I'm so mad about that right now. I'm writing it down as a video idea because I need to get to the bottom of
you
that.
You think that's not
no
true?
No fucking shot. Have
I've
you
heard
tried
that
the
about
knockoff
how,
cereal?
Because, you know, when you go to the grocery store, there's the knockoff cereal in the giant bags that's cheaper. Is that what you're talking? Yeah.
And they're always like, oh, it's the same cereal.
I have heard that it is the same. You don't think it's the same?
It can't possibly be. That's not how patents work. Like, why would Cheerios, like, unless there's a conspiracy, which maybe this is what it is, but I'm going to get to the bottom of it and report back next week.
Yeah.
Why would Cheerios sell a cheaper, I mean, unless the argument is... We have to be really careful because this I'm going to end up on my light bulb rant again if we're not careful. The Cheerios. Why would they make a second product cheaper to unless they're just targeting the people they know aren't going to buy their Cheerios anyway? But also, it's not even about that. Have you tasted both? It's not the same. They do not taste the same. I don't know what this conspiracy is, but I'm getting to the bottom of it.
I personally think they taste pretty similar, but... You're welcome
Tell
me to
about
write
this chair.
Me off as a friend for that.
No way. We're doing a blind taste test when I come up there.
It's a chair. It has a footrest, which I'm really excited about.
No, but I'm trying to get you to give me the name of it so I can Google it.
Oh.
If you don't know, that's fine. I'll just make up an image in my head. I just want to be able to look at it so I can visualize.
Yeah. Hold on. I'll send you a link. It's basically a big armchair on wheels. And I was going to say, I don't know how I feel about it visually. Because it'll match the color scheme because it's white and my chair right now is white.
But is it one of those white and pink ones that the cozy gamers are always doing?
No.
Just straight up?
It's not a gaming chair, but it's...
Oh, it's like a Lazy Boy on wheels?
It's just a big cozy armchair with wheels and a footrest.
So it's like a Lazy Boy on wheels.
Sure. What constitutes a Lazy Boy? That it leans back?
I don't know. It's a brand. It's like a big poofy chair with an armrest and maybe it leans back. And okay, they're kind of out of fashion now. I haven't seen one in a while.
The boys aren't lazy anymore like they used to be.
So true. They're out there voting for...
Anyway, so I'm putting this thing together and I'm thinking... I'm developing an opinion and I'll just say the opinion and immediately take it back. I'll take a page out of your book. Which
Incredible.
Is in some way... All furniture is ugly. And I'll immediately take that back because that's not true. Because I enjoy some pieces of furniture and I'll tell you which ones. But I think I'm very picky about furniture and I find myself getting very frustrated when I'm looking up furniture that I want to buy because I'm like, all this shit is ugly. I don't like any of it.
No, I agree totally. Why all furniture is ugly? Every time I look for it, I'm like, this doesn't look good. It never does. But then you get it and you're like, oh, it's actually fine.
I don't like things to be too, like, big and bulky and, like, take up too much visual space in the room. And then I think about it and I'm like, okay, well, that's, like, all furniture is big. That's kind of what it is. It's a big object.
It's so big. Way too big.
So I'm not a minimalist. I don't know what I am. But I was going to say, I think to some extent, all desks are ugly. I think I feel confident enough to say that. I think a desk is kind of an ugly piece of furniture. I think a really big chair is kind of ugly to me, which I just got a really big chair, but it's for the function.
Is it one of those like, why haven't you? Oh, you did send me. No, you didn't. Did you send me a picture of this chair? Because you're driving me crazy. I'm trying to see this chair.
Yeah, you were just looking at it like 30 seconds ago.
No, I wasn't. When did you send me a picture of the chair?
When you said it was like a Lazy Boy on wheels, were you not looking at it?
Oh, you did. I don't have Discord. Jesus Christ. All right. I'm going to find it. Continue.
We're on Discord right now.
I was
not.
No, I was. I built an image in my head based on your description. Okay. So I was like, is it like a Lazy Boy on wheels?
Okay.
All right. I got it. All right. I'm looking at it now, chat. Don't worry.
Anyway, so here's my hot take of the day. That I don't really feel that strongly about, but I will say it as if I do. Desks are ugly. Bookcases I like. Big chairs and big couches, almost always ugly. I think I really like a low-profile chair or couch, but then they're not as comfy. So that's where the conflict comes in, because I do want to be comfortable, so I do end up getting the big ones. But I think I really do like a minimalistic looking chair or a couch that is going to feel like sitting on solid rock. But I love how it looks.
Okay. How do you pick furniture then? Is it just like basically there's two things happening in your brain? One is cycling between a bunch of furniture because you hate it, so you keep looking at new furniture. Mm-hmm. And then the other is like a timer that counts down to when you can't stand not having furniture. And then whatever furniture you're looking at, when that timer hits zero is what you buy. Is that like kind of how you do it?
Yeah.
Listen, it's relatable. I get it.
Yeah. I am very good at picking furniture, I think. I end up liking the finished room, you know, within the constraints that I have. I think I do a pretty good job.
What?
But it takes me a long time. Within the constraints that it's...
constraints?
I don't really quite know what my opinion is. I'm a little bit tired today.
I get really annoyed trying to do stuff like that.
I guess I'm pre-defending myself for this chair because I think other people are going to think it's ugly because I kind of think it's ugly. And it's going to take up so much visual space.
It is not as bulky as I think in my head as it was. This just looks like a nice office chair.
Yeah, I think I'm just not going to like how it looks in the... like when I'm filming at my desk, I think it's going to take up too much space. I think maybe it's
that
I think it's going to give an impression to others that I care too much about my chair. Maybe that's what
that's
I don't like.
That's important to not... Yes, you don't want people to think you care too much.
Moving on. I want to talk a little bit about Fantasy Life. Do you know anything about Fantasy Life?
I played that first one on 3DS.
Oh, you did?
Extensively. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Oh
I
loved it.
I thought it was like the perfect like 8 out of 10. You know what I mean? Like not too good, so it's like effort on your brain, but super easy to play. Lots of like little quests to do. It was like the perfect... just like when you just want to fucking play a little game.
Yeah, it's just fun.
I probably played like 50 hours of it. I really liked it.
Yeah.
Good music too. Really good music.
Awesome. I agree. I really liked that game and I really like the new one. And it made me think...
Is it very similar?
It is similar with like way more stuff added, basically. It has just like way more game to it.
Did Nobuo Uematsu do the music again? Because if so, I might have to hop on that shit.
I don't know. The music is good. There's a couple tracks that I really like in and around this giant hole. You encounter this giant hole in the ground, and all the music around the hole is really good. I really enjoy that. It's like very chill.
Are you going to do a video about that hole?
I don't think so.
All right.
We'll see if I don't really have a video idea about Fantasy Life. It's just a good, fun game, like you're saying. It's like... it's nothing exceptional as far as like the story or anything, but it's just fun and it's good.
Exactly. And I felt the same way.
I guess today is my day of hot takes because my hot take with that one is I actually think it's cool and fine to copy other games' mechanics if you do a good job.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%.
Because people are like, because I was playing Fantasy Life on a stream and people are like, you know, a bunch of this game is just a ripoff of Animal Crossing. And I'm like, okay, but it's really fun and good, so yeah, it's fine. It's,
like, even, like, I don't even know if I can think of a situation where, like, why would you care?
That's what I'm saying. People do care, though.
Well, unless you had, like, some sort of brand loyalty, I guess, but... I don't know. Make a good game. Whatever. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Everyone copy everyone. I did just look and see... that this game is out on the Switch 2, and apparently the Switch 2 version is very excellent and fun, and this feels like a great game to have on my Switch. So
you should get it. It is a lot of fun.
It could be the move. It could be the move.
It's the perfect game to play and watch something on TV at the same time.
Yes, that is a great pastime. I try not to do it too much, but it is a great pastime. So is the structure of it similar to the first one, which is like... because what I love about games like that is it's just like, if you boil it down, the quests are just go here, kill this, or go here, get this.
Yeah.
But just like the moment-to-moment gameplay is just kind of satisfying and fun, and the music's good and it looks nice. So you just have this constant, you're just constantly checking off these like, I don't, not to sound bad, but like menial tasks that are just kind of satisfying.
Yeah.
Just until the game ends. And then it opens up new lands and you're like, ooh, a new land. Mm-hmm. It's just so fun. It's like a little adventure.
Exactly. So there's a lot of that. There's, there is a story, and I would say it's better than the story in the first one. I don't even remember the story in the first one, to be honest. I did read all the dialogue, but there was a lot of dialogue in the first one, and it just got kind of old how much you had to read, and I don't really remember much about it. And it was just kind of exploring and doing dungeons, and then the game is over. This one has more of a story to it, and the dialogue is a lot more succinct and still like funny and quirky. I think what I like about it is that it's very obviously copying a bunch of other games. Like there's a lot of stuff from Animal Crossing, because you actually do have literally an island with villagers, and like you can customize everything and stuff, like in addition to all the rest of the game. You have basically Animal Crossing within this game, except they've made a ton of like quality of life improvements that should have been in New Horizons anyway. So it's like Animal Crossing and Zelda and like a cozy farming game. Like there's just like a ton of shit to do in it.
Yeah, it reminded me. Do you ever play Rune Factory, which is kind of like a
Harvest Moon-y kind of thing? No, I've heard of that one, and I think I always meant to try it, but I never have played.
Fantasy Life is like if Rune Factory was good. That's what Fantasy Life was, and I've actually heard that this Fantasy Life is significantly better than even the first one. Like several people have said that they just kind of tightened everything up.
But yeah, what I was saying is, I think it's self-aware that it's taking stuff from other games, and so it doesn't take itself too seriously. And there's a lot of jokes in the dialogue and stuff, and so I think it's good and fine. And I would go so far as to say if you make a game that's like revolutionary and has new mechanics and is famous for that, that's fine. That's awesome. And then if another game comes out that does the same thing you were doing, but better, I think it's okay to call that one better. Because I would go so far as to say, I have more fun playing Fantasy Life I than Animal Crossing New Horizons. Mic dropped.
I support you totally. I think there's probably some specific cases that we would argue about. But yeah, I mean, it's like Seinfeld, right? People are always like watching Seinfeld going like, this is okay. But there's stuff now that's better. And it's like, yeah. But then the Seinfeld people are like, but Seinfeld started it. And that's also valid and totally fine. But like, there is better. Well, I don't know if there's better stuff than Seinfeld, but that's a bad example. I haven't watched it. But
yeah, I just think
stuff that gets better is better. You ever watch a movie from the 50s? They suck ass. They're horrible.
Right?
They have better movies now.
You go back far enough, they don't even have sound.
I know. They just got a little rinky-dink guy in the corner playing piano, getting whipped or something. I don't know how they paid him or whatever, got him to do that. Yeah. A monkey, maybe? A monkey on a grinder? Grinder monkey? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Do they have those? Oh, Roblox. We went to Luxembourg and saw an organ grinder in Roblox.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You played the organ grinder in Roblox. Don't you remember?
Organ?
It was for that
grinder?
Video where you tried to get me canceled. It was an organ grinder. Isn't that what they're called? Am I crazy? Yeah, an organ grinder monkey.
I do not know what you're talking about.
You know, you edited the video. It's called We Get Canceled or whatever. And you play the organ grinder as a monkey in Roblox. You never heard of an organ grinder.
Oh, you're talking about a street organ player.
But it's called an organ. Yeah, the player is called an organ grinder. You didn't hear about that.
I'm thinking about like you putting a monkey in a wood chipper is the imagery that came into my mind. And you said something about a monkey grinder.
No, that's not that. We grind the monkey's organs to make sweet, sweet music. No. Okay, now I understand. Did you know that by 1880 in New York City, 1 in 20 Italians were certified organ grinders? That's what it says here. In New York City, the massive influx of Italian immigrants led to a situation where by 1880, nearly 1 in 20 Italian men were organ grinders. That's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Is there any job that 1 in 20 of a demographic does that job? Probably. Service industry.
Yeah, I never thought of profiling Italians as street organ players before, but now I will.
Yeah, next time you see one. Be like, get back on that grinder.
Yeah, I'll be like,
buddy,
your ancestors had a 1 in 20 chance of playing an organ on the street.
You'll just repeat the fact to them?
Yeah, I'll just let them know.
Oh,
just so they know.
That's not correct.
Yeah, they'll say, Mama Mia.
You know, a lot of people now who are of, and I speak myself as an ethnic Irishman, we're not saying a lot of top of the morning to you anymore. You know, a lot of Mama Mia, a pizza spaghetti, you know? We're kind of not behaving like caricatures anymore. And I feel like when you see, like, people from, like, the 1800s...
It's because we've
really
blended
like,
too much in the great mixing
so?
Pot.
Melting pot? You think we should keep people separate? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think that's what you're saying. I'm pro-melting pot,
no, you
personally.
You said too much. You say we blended too much. All right, it doesn't matter. What are we talking about? Oh, it's Fantasy Life. I should play it. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I had to say about Fantasy Life, just that I think copyright infringement is really cool. And if it works, it works. And I'm having the time
of
my life.
Well, that's easy for you to say, Miss, I played every Avatar game. No, I'm just kidding.
What does that mean?
I encourage, because the other guy made the video first, played every Avatar game.
Yeah, so it's cool. It's cool that I did
so
that.
So it's cool. No, it is. Yeah, I actually encourage people when I get a lot of DMs saying, like, I really want to make a video doing Unremarkable and Odd, or I really want to do unemployment.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to? And I tell people constantly, if you think you can make a better video than me, you have an obligation to the people of the world to make a better video than me.
Mm-hmm.
If you think. Now, nobody can, obviously. It's impossible. But you have an obligation. So I say, you better make it, and it better be good. And if it's not good, I'm going to be pissed. Because then you wasted copyright infringement. You committed copyright infringement for no reason. There's literally somebody on YouTube, I wonder if it's still there, who's literally just making Unremarkable and Odd videos and calling them. Oh, let's see if I can find it.
Well, you're not doing it anymore.
No, it's so true. I can't find it. Where the hell is it? It was like in Left 4 Dead or something. But yeah, there's like other people who are doing them and getting some views sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like that guy Pretzel. There's a YouTuber named Pretzel who makes them and does a pretty good job. But
shout out.
I encourage it. Shout out
Pretzel.
That's
very democratic of you.
I'm a Democrat. That's all
so
I have to say.
So you were saying you got to switch too then?
Yes.
Would you like to talk about first impressions and such?
Well, I played it for about 30 minutes this morning. I played Mario Kart.
Right.
Here's all I can say about it. As a piece of hardware, significant improvement. You know how the Switch felt like a real thing compared to the Wii U, which felt like a toy? The Switch 2 makes the Switch feel like a toy. It just feels good.
Yeah.
The little Joy-Cons now.
It looks
you, like,
pretty
slide
sleek.
Them. It's super sleek. The screen's nice and big, really nice. You slide the Joy-Cons. You know how normally you like slide them in on that rail?
Yeah.
Like this, like you, there's like an indent, the length of the Joy-Con, and you like put it up and then it goes, and it's like a magnet. It like clicks in,
mm-hmm.
and then you push this button to pop it back out, and it feels just unbelievably good. So good. So,
nice.
I don't have anything like remarkable to say other than Mario Kart World kind of is just Mario Kart, obviously. I haven't played too much of the special modes. You know how you can like, there's that mode where you do like four races in a row, but it's all one big race,
mm-hmm.
and you drive from one to the next in the open world. And then it's like, if you're behind a certain place each at the checkpoints, you get dropped out and you have to, it's like Battle Royale. So that seems fun, but there's the open world mode where you can drive around the whole land and you can't turn the music off. And all it does is it just plays
shuffle.
It's a shuffling of the tracks, of the music tracks that play when you're just racing. So it's like...
Wait, really? They don't have unique music for the world?
No, and it's all really happy and so upbeat. And it totally ruins what I was hoping would be in the world, which is like just driving around, like chilling with your friends. It's like incessant.
If I was directing it, I totally would have thought that the music in between in the open world should be way more chill so you can actually explore.
Yeah, it's not good. And it's like the way you get
to
the open
world is
weird.
They literally just shuffle the tracks from the...
Well, race, so you know how Mario Kart games, they have the song that plays at the title screen, and Mario goes, Mario Kart 8, Mamma yeah. Mia, speaking of which.
Mario Kart and 8!
Exactly.
That song is actually incredible. The saxophone goes crazy.
The Mario Kart jazz is amazing. It's a whole thing.
That band is going to the fucking open world, crazy in that song.
There's videos of them playing live, actually, like in the recording sessions. I'm sure. Completely stone-faced. None of them are even moving. It's amazing. It's crazy. It's so good.
They're putting all of their emotional energy into the instruments.
Truly, it comes out. Yeah. It comes out. It elevates. But it's weird because the title screen starts and then you see like a cart driving around in the background. And to get to the open world, you just hit B and then it just, the title fades away and you are that cart in the open world. But then the menu screen music just keeps going. So it's like,
so weird.
It just feels, it's this really weird, like it never feels settled. And I was really hoping to do a video on it, like kind of an Unremarkable and Odd Places thing, but I don't know that it's really going to make sense because the energy yeah. of it is just so upbeat. So I'm curious. The actual racing is really fun. It's just like a little bit, the CPUs from my first two Grand Prix are just like a little bit more aggressive than they were in 8, which I appreciate because I thought 8 was way too easy. And I
it
love
is pretty easy, yeah.
losing in the Grand Prix and getting really pissed and having to go like win yeah, again. I just love
the
that.
Skill gap between when you're playing in Mario Kart 8, when you're playing the CPUs and when you go online, the gap is crazy. Like you go online and your first match, you're just fucking destroyed instantly. Cause it's like,
yeah,
it's different rules online basically with how to play the game.
100%. Every Mario Kart's had that problem.
Which I enjoy.
Except
I have gotten severely addicted to Mario Kart online, like on the 3DS one and then on 8. I will play online for hours because it's like, that's my version
I
of
have
when.
Guessed that.
Yeah, that's my version. That's as close as I get to being like a real competitive, like rage gamer is Mario yeah. Kart Online. Because it's so fun because I don't know, you feel like you're actually upgrading your skills. Like with the 3DS one, I was obsessed with online Mario Kart in college on the 3DS. Because it's just so exciting to like actually get better. Like you have to learn new skills when you play online than you do when you're just playing with family or like with the CPUs, because people online are so serious about it and then you just feel so good when you beat them.
That's interesting because I love playing against the CPU, like a really hard CPU. I don't like playing against real people that much. It doesn't feel as satisfying to me because, like, I don't know, for some reason when I win against another human, I'm just like, ah, well, maybe they just like sucked at it. Like if I could play the same human over and over and over again and then finally beat them, that would be really satisfying. But I don't like the possibility that like I just got lucky and that these people are just not as good as me. The computer players, it's like I know that they are a certain level of good. And so that if I beat them, it's this great feeling of accomplishment. So I'm a big fan of like that objectivism.
I suppose, but the
winning, you know,
but Mario Kart, I believe they have some kind of ranking system where they're putting you against people that are at your level. Cause you have like a points number. That's like your rank, like how good you are at the game. So it gets harder yeah. over time. Cause you're being matched with people that are at your level. And then they do, if you play multiple matches in a row, you'll be with the same lobby of people a lot of the time, unless like some people will leave or come back. But you can end up racing the same people over and over. And so I would have moments
yes.
where
and that's
I had like
fun.
I had like a nemesis that I did like 5 races in a row with, and they like kept beating my ass. And then I would finally beat them and feel like the yeah. king of the world.
That is those moments. And I remember Mario Kart Wii, I had a lot of those moments. Those moments were very special. So, but yeah, in general, I just prefer playing against CPUs. It's amazing. It's truly amazing that I have not gotten into like Dark Souls and stuff yet, because that's just like so up my alley.
Yeah. But I mean, are there any online games you've played where you get really competitive about it?
Not really. No, I just don't. I get kind of bored of it. I don't. I like playing against computers a lot more. I got into the first Splatoon. I played a good amount of that, but not like super crazy. StarCraft. I used to play like StarCraft 1 in like the mid-2000s. I played not like at a super high level, but I enjoyed that a lot. But mostly it was like pseudo casual. Like I played a lot of Counter-Strike Go, but not like as an insane person, mm-hmm. just like with friends. So yeah, I can't think of a.
I usually don't.
Oh,
get very competitive.
Call of Duty yeah. on the Wii. I fucked up some Call of Duty on the Wii. Only on the Wii though. I never really played it on the other systems.
Too funny to me. Because God, it was so you're fun. Aiming with the Wiimote, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, and it made me more precise.
That's
it made me a
really
fucking
funny.
Killer.
That's really funny.
I was
funny.
Taking those people out. Headshot, headshot, headshot.
Wait,
Call
so
of Duty.
Wii or Wii U?
Wii. Like, they ported these games to the Wii, so they looked, like, kind of bad. And, yeah. But they ran good. They did a really good job. And, I'm sorry, I need to amend. I do love, and I will just love, Capture the Flag. Or like any other objective modes in like a first-person shooter, Halo Capture the Flag, Domination in Call of Duty, any objective-based mm-hmm. team games, I just eat those things up so much. But in terms of like competitive free-for-all stuff, pretty much no. Maybe I'll try Mario Kart. Maybe I'll give it a go, and that will help me
I think it's fun.
Enjoy the game more.
I only really get competitive about extremely simplistic games.
Any other examples?
Tetris.
Oh my God,
online.
Puyo Puyo Tetris, or any of those like online Tetris games are insane.
I was on a website called TetrisFriends.com.
I remember Tetris Friends.
I was completely obsessed. You would like do Tetris battles, and when you would make a bunch of lines, it would drop yep. more pieces
oh
for the
God.
Other person. And I'm like pretty good at Tetris. I guess I haven't played it in a little while, but I would be playing on a keyboard because it was on a website. And just my fingers were tapping away. Okay, I would pull that shit up in the high school computer lab, and I would have a little crowd gather around me because I was so good at Tetris. People would be like, "Wow,
true?
I didn't know this about you, ma'am. You're really good at Tetris." And I'd be like, "Yeah."
I'm just gonna choose to believe that that's true. I don't
it
even
is.
Know.
I'm not lying.
They're just watching you play Tetris, just watching you fuck up some Tetris.
Because I would get going so fast to where like I would be just looking at the top of the screen to see the next thing. And I would, you know, you can see like what the next piece is going to be. So I was like seeing into the future. I was basically mm-hmm. doing what that other girl with the sleigh bob in the chess TV show was doing, where she's visualizing the board in the future. That was me playing Tetris.
I should make a Tetris version of that with you. Was that the King's Queen's Gambit?
Yeah, Queen's Gambit. Great show. I
Have
should
you
watch
ever
it again.
Played? I've never watched it. You know why? Because I learned that it wasn't true. When I first saw the trailers,
who cares?
I was
if it's
like,
true?
Oh wow, a true story. I know, but it's well. First of all, true stuff is cooler. But it's because I believed that it was true and then learned it wasn't, that I was like, this is stupid. I don't care. I don't want to know. Like, why
was
bother?
Was it ever
you
advertised
know, though,
as a true story?
No, I just
I thought
believed
it was just like based on a novel.
It was, I think I was like, why would anyone make a fictional TV show about chess? This must be like a really
good,
great
though.
True story. Yeah, but it's not real. So, you know, who cares at that point?
I only watch
movies based on true. No documentaries either. Snooze
historical
fest.
Dramas.
I watch historical dramas. Yeah, fictionalized accounts of real events. Titanic, The Aviator, Apollo 13. This
I
is
know
my
you
whole
love Apollo 13.
Breakfast,
I do too.
Lunch, and dinner. Love Apollo 13. Sully. You gotta love Sully. I mean, come on. It's a classic film.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other one? The Big Short. Any of these, okay? This is all I do. I like white guys who get stressed and solve problems. About true stories. That's my bread and butter.
A little bit of self-insertion happening there, maybe.
A lot of bit of self-insertion. Listen, I will self-insert myself into Sully any day of the week. So have you played, not to make this a gaming podcast, but have you played...
I know we're talking a lot about video games today.
We love video games here, okay? We love to enjoy video games. I feel like that's one of the things that me and you truly have in common is we just actually like to enjoy video games.
Mm-hmm.
And we prefer to enjoy them as opposed to not enjoy them. Tetris Effect. Have you played this game?
No, what is that?
Oh, please, for the love of God.
I honestly...
Have you ever...
I think I entered a state of depression when TetrisFriends.com shut down, and I kind of... That was kind of the end of my Tetris era.
Was it licensed? Was that like an actual...
Yeah.
Because I don't think it... Was it really?
It was
sanctioned by Tetris?
Tetris has gone through so many phases of like... Everything's officially licensed, but they'll like launch something and then take it back, and then launch something and then take it back. Like, they can't decide what they want to launch. I feel like Tetris Friends
like
could have kept existing, and they could have updated it or added modes or whatever. They just like deleted it and started over with something else.
They briefly didn't they have? Do you remember when that weird game on your smartphone? What was it called? It was like the quiz show, and you could win real money.
Yes, that was a time to be alive.
So good. So fun.
What was it? Q something? But what was that?
Q. Yeah, it was something with a Q. HQ. Is that what it was called?
HQ Live. Something like that.
With that one really funny comedian guy that everyone loved. And then there was other hosts who would do it, and people would be like, boo, bring back the one guy.
I love the idea of an app that has like live events with a host like that. That was such a unique, weird thing.
I wonder if it just shut down because it got not popular, or if there was just like, it's financially difficult.
I don't know.
To do something like that. But man, it was great idea.
Let me look it up. I think I went on a Wikipedia hole about this a while ago because I was like, what did happen to that? Why did that shut down?
Yeah, you got to find Scott Rogowski. He was the host that everyone liked. And then they fired him for some reason. I think because he wanted money, more money or something. Oh my God, there's an HBO documentary about it.
Oh my God, now I'm remembering. No, there is, right? HQ, there's some kind of documentary because I think I wrote a note in my phone months ago to go watch the documentary and I forgot about it. Let me do that.
Oh, yeah. It was a CNN and HBO documentary.
I'm not even going to read the Wikipedia. I'm gonna go watch that documentary and report back next time.
Okay, sick. I like it.
Because I love a documentary about a failed company. There's something about it.
There's a whole YouTube channel about that, right?
I don't know.
It's called like Defunct Land or like Business, not Defunct Land. That's more about like theme parks.
Yeah.
But what was that, like failed business stories? And it was,
I don't know. I'll look it up, I guess.
No, it's a great YouTube channel. And all it does is talk about like TGI Fridays and like just like shit that just didn't work.
Yeah.
Or is gone.
But I especially like when it's like random, like really cocky guy starts a crazy business that makes no sense from the beginning, and then it like all goes up in flames. Like all the stuff about Fire Festival, I ate that shit up. I love that.
Yeah. There've been a couple like that, a couple documentaries of stuff like that.
That guy went to prison, I think, for the Fire Festival stuff, and then got out of prison and immediately started another scam. I love that kind of guy. That
based like what's her face. She's working on something else again, right? Someone told me that Nathan Fielder was talking to her.
The blood test
What's
lady?
What's her name? Yeah, that he was like
to meet with her for something. I saw a headline where like now her husband is mysteriously starting a blood test company. Like,
they're going to do it. They're going to get it done. I believe in her.
You think this time it's going to work?
Tanya or something? Elizabeth Holmes? Yeah. It was working last time. She got shut down by the deep state or something like that. I believe in Elizabeth Holmes. Yeah. I'm going to invest. I'm going to use all my YouTube money and put it in there for the internet company. Yes, please play Tetris Effect. It's like if Tetris had a baby with iTunes visualizers and the greatest music you've ever heard.
Tetris.
It's unbelievable. And they have a VR version. It's made by the guy Tetsuya Mizuguchi who did...
Do you ever hear that game, Rez?
It's amazing. It's one of the greatest games, in my opinion, that's ever been made. And it is the greatest. Yeah, he made Rez, Lumines, Child of Eden. I think he did something with Space Channel 5, maybe. He just does like all that weird, like vibey Sega stuff from the early 2000s.
Huh.
But Tetris Effect it's unbelievable. Like, you will get so zapped up in it. The music's great. Visuals are out of this world. Yeah, please. It's the greatest single-player Tetris thing that's ever been released. Probably the greatest Tetris version that's ever been released, just like as a package. But obviously, there's no multiplayer.
That's amazing.
Or maybe there is.
Why have I never even heard of this? I just haven't been keeping up on my Tetris stuff.
It's really good. You can get it on pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Whenever, however you want to play it.
Hell yeah. I think you mentioned Puyo Puyo Tetris, and I did buy
that game.
But I don't know. I guess I'm a bit of a purist. I wanted it to just be Tetris.
I felt the same way at first because Puyo Puyo, I didn't understand.
I never heard of it before. So I had to learn it to play that game.
Yeah. Once I learned it, I thought that multiplayer Puyo Puyo Tetris was better than just multiplayer Tetris. Because it adds just a lot of depth to the combo like system.
I can try it again. I have it on the Switch, I think.
Yeah, it rules. It's a great... I think they just released another one for some reason, but Tetris Effect is the way to go. I'm telling you. It's like It's going to take you on a journey that you will not believe. You'll be a changed person.
All right.
By the time.
Oh my God, I have so much homework now. I'm writing down my homework.
Yeah,
Tetris Effect and the HQ Trivia documentary.
Yes, yeah. And I'm going to figure out if Serial is real.
Yeah, you research Serial. Enough about video games. That's not what this podcast is about. I did want to follow up.
Wait, can I actually say one more thing?
Yeah, sure.
About the Switch? Hold on, I got to think of something. Maybe like. I like it. You know how normally it was like you would, if you downloaded a bunch of games, like bought a bunch of download games, you'd have to like go back onto the eShop to re-download them and stuff. Now instead, they just have a little button where when you click it, it's a collection of what they call like virtual game cards. And so all of your digital games you've ever bought are just considered like little game cartridges that are virtual, and you can insert them into your console when you want them, or you can actually lend them out virtually to like other people that are in your family plan, to like other Switches.
Huh.
So you have these little like digital cards. So much more convenient to manage all of my download, like horrible download games that I got for VG Wham or for the $2 games thing. Because I can just like sort of eject them from my system and just have them in this little collection of digital game cards. So I'm a big fan of that. Not a big fan
like
of Mario Kart's music.
Maybe it makes a little more sense because, like, I still don't even understand how the regular Switch works with like sharing games and stuff. Like, we have two different Switches, and I have the account that has like Nintendo Online, and so it's just like very complicated.
Yeah.
We have to keep, there's like one of the Switches is the one that we have to play this game on, and the other one.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you couldn't, I think.
I don't know. It's
share
very,
anything.
It was like you can share things in certain cases, but it's always been very confusing to me. And like, it's very confusing to like log out and log back in on, under a different user. I don't know.
Yeah.
It sounds
now
like maybe it
simple.
Makes more
just
sense if you can just lend a game to somebody.
Yep. And they like insert it into their console like it's a real physical card, and they can have it for as long, and then they can eject it and give it back to you. And
yeah,
so you can share games. Pretty sick. Nice thing. You know, I'll play more of the Switch too, and I'll, if I have anything to say, we'll come back to it. This concludes Gamer Time.
Okay. No more video games.
Yeah, ever.
A couple of follow-ups on comments about jury duty. Again, I guess here's my public apology that I cut out so much. It wasn't that exciting, guys. Don't worry about it. But I thought it was interesting somebody was explaining about why it might feel like you don't get a lot of information about the law that
is
in question. And it's because apparently the actual instructions that they give the jury about how to be a jury and what the law is are pre-agreed upon by everybody, like both the attorneys and the judge agree on the literal instructions that they give the jury. I assumed when we got in there, we were given pages of instructions, and then the judge was reading them to us verbatim based on what was on the page. And I kind of assumed that this was just this judge's instructions. Like, they just said the same thing to every jury. And I'm sure that's true to some extent. I imagine, you know, people can correct me, but I feel like probably each judge has their own, like, way that they like to say the instructions that they start with, and then maybe they give that to the lawyers and the lawyers argue about it.
Right.
But so everything down to the instructions they give the jury is engineered by the lawyers to portray what they want to portray, basically. Like, it is a thing to make the instructions intentionally confusing to try to lean the case in
your
favor.
Like, it's a strategy. Dang. So it, I mean, people say this thing of, like, the point of the justice system is to have the two sides argue, and then, where, you know, that's how you find the truth, is one person just has like an insane bias and will say anything to help this side, and then this is the other side, and then the only thing that will create the difference in the balance is the actual like fact of the matter, which is why the justice system works, quote unquote, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like really down to the minutiae. that they kind of follow that philosophy, right?
In yeah, terms basically of like, everything.
Like the jury selection.
Yeah, the selection
And I like the
process.
Rules that people were saying about jury selection. Like each side gets like 3 auto bans. Mm-hmm. It's like fucking League of Legends beforehand. Yeah. Like I ban these people for the next one. But like they were somebody real. Who came up with all these rules? Was it like Benjamin Franklin or was this more recent? Because like
I know
the Federalist Papers and stuff, these are like complicated things that just explain why the Constitution is how it is. But like all of this must have kind of come from like old English law or something. I think this stuff's extremely fascinating.
I mean, as a society, I think we've been doing court so long. Like this is probably just rules built up over, you know, many generations of doing this stuff. But it is just crazy that every detail of everything said in the courtroom basically is... the lawyers are arguing about how it should be said to try to get their way, which is, I'm not even making a judgment on that. Like maybe that's just how it has to work. It's just interesting that you are kind of being manipulated to, like for lack of better words for the whole case, like even wording of things that you didn't think was part of being manipulated. But
well, and it's one of those tricky things of like, it's going to get decided by someone,
right?
And it does have an effect. And so you have like, who's going to have that choice in terms of who's deciding how? Because I assume what you're referring to is like you said, like the instructions they give to the jury, right? How they, you know, the law they give you, the information they give you, the instructions they give you. Someone's going to decide. It's going to get decided. And what that ends up being does have an effect on how the jury is going to see things, right?
For sure.
So obviously they're going to want to argue about it, but it's like, it almost feels like it should be something that like is just like God given. Like,
well, it seems very tedious that they argue about it for every single case individually, you know?
Yeah. But again, if they don't argue about it, who's deciding?
Yeah.
Because the instructions have to be slightly customized for each case because each case is a little different, right? But who has that authority? Because you could just give it to the judge. But then at that point, then that bias can just be manipulated by the judge's own internal bias. You can give it to the prosecutor, but then it's, you know, so it is like, you
I'm not
have
saying
to,
I have the answer, but it just is interesting.
Well, there is no one answer, right? It's just interesting that this is the answer that we've decided is the one we're going to use.
Because
you could just give it to the judge and say, we're going to have cool judges who are not biased, but good luck. I'm sure there's another solution. Maybe we give it to ChatGPT in the future and, you know, that decides, but...
Yikes. It's,
I know. Crazy, complicated systems.
Another adjacent interesting point that I was looking up is I just randomly thought, like, well, what happens if there's a lawyer on the jury? And so I was looking this up and lawyers are almost always excused. Either in the beginning, they'll say something like, you know, this is the type of law I practice, and the judge will just excuse them because it's like too related and they might have an opinion. But lawyers are almost always excused when it gets to the point where the lawyers are using their bans, because they're experts on being in court, obviously, and they can explain the jury instructions properly.
Oh, so they can then...
So they can undermine this very precise wording that the other lawyers have decided on, because they're wording it for lay people to give a very specific impression. And if a lawyer is in the deliberation room and they can like put it in layperson's terms and kind of like make it less obscure, then that's not good for the case.
For one of the sides.
For one
of them,
yeah.
Because surely that would benefit one of the sides and not benefit the other. So the one that's not benefiting would be like,
because I found an interesting story from a lawyer that ended up on a jury. And he was like mad that he ended up on the jury because he was expecting to be excused. But it ended up like helping the defense that he was able to explain the instructions better. And so...
Which seems good.
Like, he talked to the defense lawyer after, I think, and... it was basically her strategy to include him on purpose because she knew that he would explain in a way that benefited her to the rest of the jury. So,
but doesn't it imply that if an expert explains something more clearly, that it goes a certain way? Isn't that probably good? Like, doesn't that imply that it should have gone that way?
You would think.
in some sense. Like, you're almost not self-selecting, but you're selecting for, like,
but the lawyer on the other side isn't going to like it, so they'll almost always ban them.
Right. God, it's a complicated problem to solve unless you just train everyone to be lawyers. Like, like everyone has a full knowledge of the law. Because otherwise,
so I wonder,
like,
if you would new technique to get out of jury duty is say that you study the law for fun extensively
as a YouTuber. Then no one would want you. That's then no matter which side it is, it's going to be like,
yeah, I should have said I make YouTube videos explaining the law for lay people. And they would have said,
if they would
okay.
have banned you after that, how would you have felt? If they would have said, get out of here, I'm choosing to use my ban on this YouTuber. How would that have made you feel any type of way?
That would have made me feel like, cool, I can go home and eat lunch.
Oh, there you go. I would have taken it personally. I would have become a lawyer after that, just out of spite. I would have been like, these people don't know what they're talking about.
But yeah, so man, it's cool. Court is crazy.
Court, it's crazy. It's cool. It's fun to see how people solve complex problems and how the solutions are always extremely imperfect.
It's a very human thing, I guess, is what I've learned. Like, when you go into a courtroom, it's just guys arguing with each other.
Well, and that goes back to that thing of, you know, obviously the initial thing was, why would they not want us to learn anything about this law? But it is true. Someone commented this, that, like, it is, the point of the law is to be interpreted by a jury. It is supposed to be those words, and how normal people choose to interpret those words, like, is what the law is. The law isn't a thing that exists that then the jury has to follow. Like, the jury is setting the law kind of by how they interpret the words that were passed into law. And that's just a really different way than I think we're taught to think about the law. Like, we're taught to think of it kind of like the Ten Commandments or whatever. Like, these are, like, firm things that mean specific things. And depending on the law, it, like, can be more or less that way.
Yeah.
But, like, you are supposed to be kind of not confused necessarily, but you are supposed to be making a choice as to how to interpret it. Like, that choice as a juror is part of the legal system. It's not wrong that you don't know exactly what it means. It's your judgment that the legal system is trying to rely on.
And I think most people, including me, just kind of think of the way laws are worded as if they are for lawyers or, like, the, you know, the people that do that job. So it honestly kind of changes the way I look at, like, you know, when I'm looking at a ballot of, like, some law they want to pass locally and the wording is so confusing. I'm like, okay, at the end of the day, if this is going to be decided by a jury of regular people,
yes,
they should be wording it so that it's understandable by regular people, you know?
Right.
It's kind of,
and that probably will be decided. Like, at some point, someone will sue someone over this law, and it will have to go to a jury who will then decide, or potentially then to the Supreme Court or whatever, right?
But so, like, laws, man, oh, really, man, at the end of the day, are written for lay people. I think that's a perspective I didn't really have before.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, that's who's deciding.
It's a very interesting way to put it, yeah. Because that is true, right? Like, that is, I guess, what it is.
But I think most people don't think about it like that. They just, like, they see this, like, obscure language and they're like, oh, well, that's just not for
me to
understand.
You're like, oh, that must mean something that I'm not supposed,
like,
to know exactly what it means.
Yeah, like, some expert knows what that means, but
right.
I don't know what
but
that
means. But literally, it just means what it says and what has been decided it means by people like me.
Yeah.
At the manipulation of jurors or at the manipulation of lawyers and so on and so forth. But, like, it is, at the end of the day. Is that beautiful, what you just said? I feel like that's kind of beautiful.
Maybe.
Do you think does that give you hope for humanity in some way? Like, it's all people at the end of the day. It's us.
Yeah, I think there's definitely something beautiful about, like, the concept of the law in the end being decided by lay people. I think I'm a little bit annoyed, I guess, that the way that laws are written a lot of the time is so obscure. Because I think that
because they're trying to
maybe
manipulate
undermines
the lay people.
The beauty of the situation.
For sure.
Because laws are, like, written and then debated about in, like, the government, right? So, like, they're wording things certain ways and arguing with each other about it in a way that's kind of disconnected from the people, maybe. So maybe they need to rethink how they...
Or with the manipulation of the people in mind. Because they're going to go, well, don't word it like that, because or else then this is going to do that. Like there was that case recently where it was, Congress passed a law saying like no weapons of any, like you cannot have any weapon in a school or in classes in school. And a weapon is defined as any object that can be used to da 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 da. Anyway, the point is, somebody sued somebody because of like home ec, whatever it is where you're learning to cook.
That's
and they got
ec,
knives
yeah.
banned from the school because the jury said, well, according to the way this law is written, this would fall under it. And they hadn't thought of that when they passed the law. But they were like, yeah, we got to get rid of archery because that is what this law says. It's nothing that can cause grievous bodily harm if wielded by whatever.
Lots of things wouldn't work anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And then it was this big uproar because people were like, I can't believe that the Democrats banned, you know, cooking classes because they hate guns so much. But then the Democrats were like, oh, that was not what we were trying to do. I don't remember who it was. It might be Democrats. Who knows? So then they just had to amend the law to clarify there's exceptions for this, 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 and this. And that's how they fixed that. And that was like this funny example of like the jury interpreting the law, like you said, they're supposed to. Based on the words that were written, and they didn't think very hard about what those words maybe would have been interpreted by, and it caused a mistake, and they had to go back and amend the language and repass this amendment to the law, and so on and so forth. It's wild. It's crazy, all this stuff, you know? Your little bobbing baby head is just like staring at me, and you're kind of going backwards and forwards, and you almost look like an adult at this point.
Yeah, well, we noticed, if you guys go back and watch the last episode that was in this game, our babies morph and grow over time, over the course of the hour. Our heads get smaller and we get a little bit taller. So I think it's meant to be like we're growing into children from babies.
Can I suggest something?
Yeah.
You know how we said we're probably going to do like 3 or 4 episodes in this game, right?
Right. This is our new favorite game,
everybody.
I think
for whatever the last one, first of all, the skybox, I'm just going to look up at it for a second.
Yeah.
Check this out. My God.
That's good.
I mean, it's an unbelievable situation here. Ridiculous. I think what we should do for the last episode, we should do a 3-hour pod and see how tall these babies can get.
I honestly was wondering, I was like, should I just leave this game on overnight and see?
Right. Like,
did they program an end to it is the question.
Yeah.
Because what if we left it on for days and you could grow to like 50 feet tall?
Like Katamari. Yeah,
like that. I just saw a TikTok about this Zelda glitch that I didn't know about in, I think it was Twilight Princess, where it's like a speed running hack that is ironically very slow, because I guess the animation when you pick something up from a chest actually moves Link backwards extremely, extremely slowly, like over the course of at least an hour you can phase through a wall maybe. And so speedrunners use it in situations where like whatever the math works out where it is actually worth it. I think there's like a certain speed run they were saying that you have to leave the game on for 13 hours while Link slowly phases through a wall behind him.
And that ends up being faster
somehow it ends up being faster than actually playing the game properly.
That's
but,
funny.
I think glitches like that are funny where they don't, I mean, I think that's just a mistake. It's like a mistake in the animation. He's not actually supposed to move at all. But I think it's funny when they don't consider people just leaving a game on for hours and hours and they don't program an end to something like slowly changing over time.
I was thinking about that in the context of, I can't talk about this yet because I'll spoil the idea, but I have this idea for a video and this is relevant to that, but we're not going to talk about it right now. It's great idea though.
Secrets.
And you guys are going to love it.
Any more comments I wanted to talk about?
Yeah,
I wanted
good
to
ones?
Say...
How are people doing this week?
Yeah, and also you guys can ask us more questions. I know we like forget to look at comments a lot of the time, but
we look at them during the pod.
But I feel like people stopped.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I feel like people stopped asking us questions, maybe because we never answer them. But once in a while, we might. So go ahead and throw it out there.
We can.
Because I miss getting questions.
I mean, if you want to, we can have a dedicated viewer questions segment.
We could.
It is like a thing podcasts do to make their viewers feel seen. And I know that you said, I don't want these people to feel seen. Or was that? I think I said that.
Yeah,
somebody said that.
That was me. I love our viewers. And I appreciate them.
Listen.
And I was actually just about to glaze them a little bit because I think they're all being very nice about me saying Oblivion was kind of boring, which I appreciate.
Yeah, man. That piece
of art
that the person...
Because I was kind of expecting... everybody to hate me for saying that.
Yeah. Well, it just means we've curated good fans, doesn't it?
Yeah. Do you hate me for saying that?
No, no, no. It just tells me something about who you are. But you're not going to keep playing it, even though that person made that nice Lompo art that didn't endear it to you at all.
Oh, I know. I got some fucking incredible fan art of Lompo.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was really good. And it was only like a couple days after the video came out. I'm like, this person was on it immediately. Yeah.
How does it feel? This can be the last question I ask you about it, but how does it feel? Because I have these similar things of like when you put out a video that's like significantly lower effort and it gets like kind of the same amount of views. I think it's getting slightly less. I don't know. You can see the stats better than me.
Like, less.
How do you see that in relation to stuff like the Avatar video, you know? Is it that much less? I feel like it's fucking 70,000. Yeah, 73,000 views. Like, And I feel like it was like still a good video, but not as high effort. Do you like think about that at all? Or are you just like, no, I'm just going to make whatever I want to make every week?
I mean, I'm very grateful for it. Cause I think like I've said before, I want to cultivate an audience that just likes me. And so it's very nice of them that they're still interested in watching basically whatever I do. And like I said before, I just wanted to make a couple videos that take a little bit less time so I can be a little more consistent just for now. I might go crazy again in the future, but I don't feel any type of way about views correlating with effort. I don't really believe in like, because I spent a lot of time on this, it should get more views.
Cause, for sure.
Agreed. I mean, cause I don't really believe in any kind of should thinking. This should happen. I don't know what's going to happen.
Ooh, it's interesting. Life. I'm going to hold on. Quote, I don't believe in any kind of should thinking. I like that. I feel like you could
should thinking is where anxiety comes from. Nothing should happen. Stuff just happens. You can kind of make certain things more likely by doing certain things, but you can't attach the should to it. That's where it all goes to shit.
I'm going to have to think about that.
Anyway, so at the end of the day, I do just kind of have fun doing whatever. Like, I knew and expected that my Roblox video wouldn't do very well because I don't think my audience cares about Roblox, but I really wanted to make it, so I did. And I really liked that one.
Yeah. Maybe your greatest thumbnail?
But I fully expected it to not really get views, and it hasn't, and that's fine. I mean, it has decent views now because it's been out for long enough, but...
Have any of them really surprised you? Like, I thought wasn't going to go
the
hard.
The PS2 video, I never expected...
True.
That
what
one
is that
like,
at? Like 500,000 views now? 608,000?
That one really blew up. I guess it's just because of the nostalgia factor, because it has PS2 in the title. People will just click on it, I guess. Definitely attracted a lot of the retro gaming community that I don't necessarily love, because they're mean and judgmental.
Yeah.
And that's not what my channel is about. So... I mean, that's a big reason that I don't necessarily want to do a lot more content about that. I will make more content about retro games. I want to make another video like that about the Wii, which I also think the retro gaming community is going to hate me for. And that's okay.
The Wii people are so chill. I feel like
you
people
think
who like
maybe
the Wii
that one
are
will
like
be
chill as fuck.
Because people... Yeah. And it is so funny... like what you've said before about people contradicting each other in the comments, it's really funny how I knew that people were going to have an opinion about what type of PS2 I bought. And there's an equal number of comments saying that I made the right choice or the wrong choice. And they're all equally passionate about it.
This goes back to that Katy Perry thing. It's like once you get above a certain level, you just can't. The public can't help you.
Yeah, they're all so sure that they're right and they're all contradicting each other.
Exactly. It's really, really funny. I've also noticed, you want to notice an interesting observation I've made?
Yeah.
When I make videos about Zelda games, the comments are noticeably meaner. Like, never the upvoted comments. Like, I think you and I both have like really good, if you look at like top comments, they generally are very good.
Zelda is one of those things that people are really passionate about and they really have opinions.
Yeah. They get like so many more comments about like how wrong I am or how dumb this was or how I don't understand anything about the lore Like stuff like that. Like they just get
really
precious about it.
Nobody understands anything about Zelda lore.
Because there isn't any. Because
it's
crazy.
It's confusing and all over the place, and it's not the point.
Exactly.
I really think that's what it is. The point of Zelda has never been the lore, and people are really into it, and so they want it to be the point because they want to like feel like experts about it. But Zelda itself has never taken the lore seriously. I think every once in a while they release some kind of book or something that's like, here's what the lore is, because that's what the fans want. But I don't think the creators of Zelda games have ever gave a shit. They just kind of throw a lot of the same elements together and people like it and it's good. But I don't think they ever have started out being like, this is how this game is going to connect to this game. I don't think they care.
Never. I remember before that book came out that the Zelda compendium or whatever the heck, you could see in interviews with like Aonuma and Miyamoto and stuff, like just how begrudgingly they were putting this thing out, the timeline. Just people were constantly asking them about the timeline, and their answers were always so like politically nice, but like so clearly, we really don't care. Yeah. We don't care at all. It like doesn't matter to us. It's not important. But then people kept pestering them and kept being like, well, there's this theory about this. And they're like, well, I don't know. So they had to like hot glue together this like insane, oh, well, this game, the timelines, they split. And then these are on this half of the timeline. And then this. And then Breath of the Wild is, and it just, none of it actually fits together.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't. And we shouldn't be thinking about it. You know, it really, they're just separate things. And people take it way too serious.
Because they're just like there to make good, fun games. And they are. And that's all it has
Nintendo's
to be.
Good
you
for.
Just take them individually.
Yeah, don't go in those comments in my recent video and control F rock salt. The number of people saying, well, technically, if you pick up the rock salt in Breath of the Wild, the description says that it comes from an ancient sea. So Wind Waker's ocean is actually salty. You're totally wrong about your thing because I said it was freshwater. They were just like, God, what is going on? This is not for this, you know?
Meanwhile, it was just a random writer with no like lore wiki they were looking at, just making shit up to put in the description.
Yeah. And the games are great. And that's what the point is.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad we agree on this.
the housing
have we
market,
done it?
You know? I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
I don't know what you're talking about either. But I think that was a podcast.
Great. I'm going to go play.